Morning and greetings, church. Praise be to God. As we come to the precious word of God, please turn to Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1. Book of Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1. Verse 1, I shall read it for you. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Just turn to Joshua chapter 8 and verse 30 onwards. Please be attentive to the verse. We'll have a bit of an interactive study, God willing. Verse 30 says, Thus Joshua built an altar unto the Lord, God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man had lifted up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and the elders and officers and the judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord. As well as the stranger, as he had was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and the strangers that were conversant among them. Let us pray. Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful morning you've given to each one of us. We pray for your precious word, that it may speak to our hearts, that, Lord, we may be Lord, what you called us, a holy calling, that we may offer ourselves to you, a living sacrifice unto God. Bless every soul which hear thy word, and ask your blessing upon the servant. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Just check whether it's working. Right. We've been looking at, as you know, we've just come to the last part of our journey in this map. We've been looking for the last few months, our years now. And we looked at this place called City of Ai. Ai has a short, very short name. And we looked at in the last time in this city of Ai, Joshua could not take it the first attempt because of the sin of Achan. And the very first verse we read, Joshua would have been afraid to go and battle again, isn't it? Fear not, I am with you and I'll provide this land. This morning I'm particularly interested to read two things. Which the Lord has ministered is this particular place, as you see. You're looking at this particular spot. And if you look at this map, you see the city of Ai is just here, and Bethel is just around here, and Jerusalem is just here. Did you read? Remember you read about two mountains on, what were the name of the mountain? Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. It's just about the city of Bethel, just around here. And what did they do in Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim? We read, firstly, God delivered according to the promise, the city of Ai. How did he enter, conquer this land? Joshua put overnight few of his army in Bethel and the west of Ai, and the army attacked from the north. And the people of Ai thought to go to the war against this side of the north, And Joshua won the war and took hold of the city of Ai. So I'm not looking into the detail of the battle. The Lord did provide. But when you see after that, in Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, we read certain things they did on this after conquering Ai. You read about they built an altar for the Lord, right? What else did they do? What else did we read in this particular place?
Read the word of God.
They read the word of God. Did they just read one part of the portion? Or just one book? Is this Genesis 22? No. They read all the five books. Not even one word was left out. Who were sitting and watching? Who were the congregation? Men, children, and women. The whole Israel. All the tribes. What else did they do? He wrote the Ten Commandments on the stones. Again, he took a stone. Joshua wrote the Ten Commandments. He reminded them the commandments of the Lord. And a burnt offering was offered unto the Lord. So this is possibly for a picture of Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. I'm not sure it's really exists like this, but possibly the mountain. There was an Ark of the Covenant in the middle. There were priests, and the word was read, and people were sitting on this side of the mountain, and probably on this side of the mountain, and they honored the Lord, and they worshipped the Lord. And when they read, they would have read even the Genesis chapter 22. They would have read many portions of the Bible, which happened, times of Abraham, times of Noah, times of Adam. And they rejoiced in the great victory the Lord has given them. Many of us played cricket yesterday. We had a bit of sports. I'm sure a few of us are tired. We are like wounded soldiers. But we can all rejoice the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. The victory the Lord has given us is not going to perish. It is for eternity. As Brother Jim was reminding about we had a trophy. He said, after 2 days, I won't have the glory of this trophy. It's gone. But the victory have. So these people rejoiced that day. What God had promised, he accomplished. This morning, I'd like to bring two things about as we look into the place of Ai and Bethel and Jerusalem and Mount Moriah, as we read. And may the Lord speak to our hearts. What is the character of God when God has a vision of a chosen place or a chosen person? If you look at they built an altar at Bethel and Ai, we read. There was somebody else built an altar in exact spot about 470 years to 500 years before. Abraham. Abraham built right at this spot. If you turn to Genesis chapter 12. I could see Sister Toby and Praveen. They're quite thorough with it. I could see Abraham indeed. Genesis chapter 12. You read this portion, this is a portion where Abraham left Haran and walked into the land of Canaan. In the land of Canaan, there were children of Ham already. And you see this portion, verse 7 says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto thy seed, I will give this land. And they built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence out a mountain on east of Bethel and pitched the tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai." Hai is those days called H-A-I. Now it's, as we read, A-I. Ai on the east. "And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord." Very historical place. What is God speaking? God has chosen this place. We read one of the portion, "I'll put my honor in this particular place, Jerusalem." God was chosen out of all the earth. When you look at the whole universe, it's a small, tiny place. All this place, God had a purpose in this particular place. He had chosen for a purpose. And he had, it was not in a, many of you have built a home from a building and taking a land. I know a few brothers here. It takes a lot of planning, isn't it, to build a home. You can't just go and say, I'm going to build tomorrow. You need a builder. You need how much fund you need. You need to have a vision. What are you going to do? How it's going to be? How are you going to pitch the home? Exactly the way God had pre-planned where his place will be, where his name will be on it. And so he's chosen this place clearly, as we see. Altar, we read about this altar. We read in Joshua chapter 8. The altar should not be hewn with any metal. God gave specific instructions to build the altar. If you read in Leviticus in detail, I was questioning myself, why would the Lord say not to hewn a stone? Any thoughts, brothers and sisters, you have? Why not to hewn a stone?
Because he doesn't want anything man-made.
Man-made. Yeah, that's one thought.
Man's own image.
No alteration, a natural from the Lord. Altar was a holy structure which would be offered an offering to the Lord. One of the things also I got a thought was, if it was craved to certain image, you read this about altar well after 10 commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 25. The Lord gives specific instruction not to hewn the stone so that it shall not defile. If I and you make an altar with a specific way of this structure, it could have become an idol, isn't it? People can make it an idol for sure. It can become idol as you look at a stone of a structure. And they would look at, this is going to be the Lord's structure. So Lord did not want for sure any idol in a heart. God is the all-sufficient God. So the altar is a structure where you see in times of, as we read many scripture portions, where an offering of sacrifices were made. It was a place of consecration to the Lord. We see even this morning, as we turn to Genesis chapter 22, you read, God chose, we read this verse in verse 1, God chose, on this mountain you shall offer Isaac, isn't it? Isaac, Abraham was on this place, on Beersheba. There were many mountains across, right? Why did God choose Mount Moriah in Genesis 22? It was 90 miles from Beersheba to Moriah. How many days Abraham took? 3 days. Probably 30 kilometers he traveled each day, right? Approximately. I'm not sure how many days he traveled. On this mountain shall the Lord provide. And we read about this morning how Abraham prophesied, on this mountain the Lord shall provide. Not very far from this place is Mount Golgotha, where the Lord provided for you and for me, which we looked at this morning. There was one more event happened in this particular place called Bethel. There was one more altar built, and that was in the time of, if you turn to Genesis chapter 28, book of Genesis chapter 28. And verse 10, we read about Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took all of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, and God of Isaac. The land where thereon liest, to thee I'll give it to thy seed. What a beautiful dream. He was passing through back from Haran, running far from his brother Esau. And he was tired on the night, and you see Isaac in this particular place. You see a ladder from heaven to the earth. What does it speak to us? An open heaven. He speaks about Jesus being our ladder, isn't it? He is my mediator. No one can come to the Father except through me. Today we had an open heaven. We wanted to reach out to heaven and bring our worship to the altar. We read that place was a house of God. He named that place Bethel, a house of God. God has given us an open heaven because of His Son, Jesus Christ. We read about Selim, the king of Selim, in Genesis chapter 14. You read, king of Selim was Melchizedek, who met Abraham on his way from Lot, and he bought bread and wine, where Abraham offered his tenth part. He was a picture of Christ. We read about Melchizedek as he had no mother and no father, and a picture, a shadow of Christ. We read about shadow of the substitute going to be offered in Mount Moriah. We read about the ladder of Jesus being our ladder. We read about the high priest. Jesus is going to come one day, who will be the high priest in order of Melchizedek. Now we're looking at about 4,000 years ago as we speak of this portion. As we look at in times of David, if we turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 21, 1 Chronicles chapter 21, you see this part of the place is under the, it's a threshing floor of Onan. Few Jebusites were living in this place about 1,000 years later. We're speaking about 1,000 years before Jesus came, 1,000 years after the time of Abraham, 3,000 years before, as we speak. We see this place was a place owned by a Jebusite named Onan. As we read this portion from verse 13, David sinned by numbering, taking a census of Israel. He numbers the Israel, and God brings judgment upon Israel. David was given three options, if you remember. One was 3 years of famine, 3 months at the hands of the enemies, or 3 days at the judgment at the sword of the Lord. And David gave himself at the hands of the Lord. How many people died? As we read verse 13, verse 14, and God sent pestilence upon Israel, and they fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying it, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the devil, and said to the angel that destroyed it, is enough, stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw an angel, the Lord stand between the earth and heaven, and having drawn the sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. And David and elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, is it not I commanded the people? And David cried out in that verse, punish me, judge me. What did the angel say in verse 18? Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say, David should go up, set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. Please note, God again commanded to build an altar at that particular place. Verse 25 says, of the same verse, so David gave Onan, he bought this place for 600 shekels of gold, and David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. We just read few things, but there was some divine things happened at the altar. David built the altar. David was offering. What happened? Where did the fire came from? The fire came from heaven. And the fire came from heaven and took the offering from the Lord. The burnt offering and peace offering. The burnt offering would have been of a substitute animal. Would there have been a sheep or a ram where David was to offer. David came with a repentant heart. We saw that portion. He repented of what he had done. And God accepted his offering. Peace offering is a sacrificial offering one could offer with thanksgiving heart, thanking the Lord. And David was offering his burnt offering and peace offering. And at that particular place, God accepted. And David knew, in this particular place, I shall build the temple for God. As you read 22 verse 6 and 7 said, chapter 22, 1 Chronicles, then he called Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, in my mind, to build an house unto the name of the Lord, my God. Brothers and sisters, when we're looking at this portion, everything has a purpose. God has chosen to speak to us the volumes of book of his son coming to this world. The temple was to be built by his son because David had blood upon his hand. David prepared everything for this temple. The gold, the brass, the wood, the nails, the structure. And Solomon, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if we turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1 says, then Solomon began to build the temple of the house of the Lord. Appeared unto the house of the Lord, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had appeared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. The exact spot where David had commanded Solomon built the temple. Please note as you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. Please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon built, had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Brothers and sisters, we are looking at again a different portion. Where did the fire came from? From heaven. As they prayed, as Solomon prayed, as people sang, as the priest gathered, as the temple was built, you see the glory of the Lord fill the house. This morning we had a glimpse of the glory when we all as a church gathered and worshiped God. Imagine the glory of the presence of God. Even the priests could not stand in the house of God. It shined and they had to, it was filled with the glory of God. And the fire came down again and took the offerings of God. This probably would not be, that would be more glorious than we could even see in this picture. But this design is what we could take. We see a holy place, a most holy place. You see the altar in the front. We have read about this and when we discussed about tabernacle. Where did this pattern come from? Did it come from David? No, it was the pattern was given from the Lord to Moses in time of Exodus. God told him how to build this pattern. It was similar to the tabernacle, which was a portable tent. We had a holy place, the most holy place. You see the altar of God. You see the altar of incense. You see the lamps, you see the showbread, the wine, you see the leaven, everything according to the pattern, the size, the structure. You read in 1 Kings, Solomon made the altar of pure gold. The altar was of pure gold. He put the full pure gold in the most holy place. And it is the same thing. Once in a year, the most high priest could enter the most holy place. Not by own himself, with the blood of an animal. You see in the altar of fire. We're reading about the altar. We're reading Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13 says, "The fire on the altar shall not go out. The fire shall continue to burn day and night." Brothers and sisters, what happened the day we received the Lord Jesus Christ? It says the Spirit of God was sealed in our hearts. The light shined upon our life. We have been called the light and salt of the earth. The fire reminds us of the presence of God. The fire reminds us of the Spirit of God. The fire shall not go out. If you read in Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 24, it is the Lord who put the fire, exactly the same as you read in times of David, as you read in times of Solomon. The fire came down from heaven as the priest was ordinated and priest gave an offering. You see in Leviticus chapter 9 verse 24, the fire came down from heaven and took the burnt offering. As you look at this temple, as we looking at about 2,500 years, this temple stood for 410 years. In the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, about 586 BC, this temple was fully destroyed with fire. Nothing was left. We have read about times of Zerubbabel. We read about times of Ezra, Nehemiah. 70 AD since the exile of Babylon, 70 AD, God works in a life of a Gentile king called Cyrus. He was a Persian king. He had nothing to do with this temple. And God builds the temple through King Cyrus. The temple was rebuilt in 70 AD. But that temple was nowhere close to the glory of Solomon's temple. It was a blessing, but it did not have the glory of the Solomon's temple. When Jesus was there, the temple was in times of Romans. And 70 AD, after Jesus died, the temple was destroyed by the Romans. All these things, brothers and sisters, as we're looking at, if you turn to John's Gospel chapter 4, please turn to John's Gospel chapter 4. We read about the high priest, Jesus in the order of Melchizedek. We read about the picture of a substitute of Jesus coming. We read about how an altar, a sacrifice would be made one day. And in the appointed time, 2,000 years ago, all the volumes of book spoke about one person, and that was our Lord Jesus Christ. And in him dwelt the fullness of God. He was the exact representation of God. The fullness of God dwelt in him. The Shekinah glory of God, the presence of God. And John tried to express in 1 John, we have seen him, we have touched him. In him was light, and the light was his life of men. These are the simple words Jesus spoke in John's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 21. He was speaking to a Samaritan woman at the well. And this Samaritan woman thought she could go to that temple only which existed to worship the Lord. All those days, they could only worship at one place, at the temple. Verse Jesus said these words to her, verse 21, Jesus said unto her, "Men, believe me, the hour cometh, when he shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship he know what he know, what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in the spirit and in truth." Praise God for this beautiful way the Lord has given us access to each one of us this morning. No more Now is the time come, 2000 years ago. No more one would go to a temple. No more, because God does not dwell in a building built by men. As we move to John's Gospel chapter 2, please turn to John's Gospel chapter 2. We read it. This was the question they asked, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto them, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy the temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. They did not understand what Jesus was saying. Destroy the temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Jesus was speaking, I am the temple. He was speaking about the 3 days of separation we read. In 3 days, on the Lord's day, the resurrected day, he rose again. He gave us victory over our sin and death. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, Know ye not, we are the temple of living God. What happened when Jesus died on the cross, on his last breath? What exactly happened? Anybody? The veil was torn. If you turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. And you read, verse 50 says, When Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. All that hope the high priest had was on the temple. They went back, they saw the most holy place, the holy place, the veil in between, was torn top to bottom. Why? Because I and you can have access to the most living God. No more going to a priest. No more going to a person called by God to confess. We have an open heaven, the ladder. We have an access to God Almighty. Jesus, Lord Jesus, who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We read about the picture of the holy place and most holy place. You read in Jesus, Hebrews 9:24 says, Jesus did not enter the holy place made with hands, the tabernacle made with hands. He offered himself with the blood to heaven itself. To heaven itself. If the blood of an animal, of a goat, or an animal as a substitute can cleanse, how much more the most holy sacrifice of our Lord Jesus cleanses us from all our dead works. As for the east to the west, so far have removed our transgression from us. Yeah, this is the place now, as you see, right now as you speak. You see all Moscow, the mosque there. There's much to happen in this particular place. The temple will be rebuilt before where the Antichrist will come. We shall not go into it for today. Brothers and sisters, as we looked at few portions in the Bible on that particular place. God had a vision for that particular place, as we read in Mount Moriah, Bethel, and a city of Ai. When God is building, how did you see his character? Right? He was faithful for what he has promised. You see, he's a covenant-keeping God. Though times have passed, ancient words are ever true. We read this song, Age to Age, he is the same. He's never changing. One of the greatest characters is the patience. People have failed. His own Israel has failed. We have failed. But imagine the patience of God. He continues to build. One of the characters of God was ministering, he's never going to give up. He will not give up. Faithfulness, not giving up. He will perform what has been promised. If God has given you a promise, it may have not happened yet. But if it's from God, it will happen in his time. Regardless, whatever comes, with God, nothing is impossible. Even we do not know how this, where the mosque is one day, how it's going to happen, that somebody will build a temple there. But with God, Nothing is impossible. All his prophecies will come through. What is God building now? God is not building the Solomon's temple anymore. God is not, these are all the shadow of things to come. What did Jesus say in Matthew 16:16 when he was speaking to Peter? Who am I? What do people say I am? I think this is the biggest question we have challenged when we go for evangelizing. Who is Jesus? I think that is the greatest revelation one can have, that Jesus is Son of Most High God. For this answer of Peter, Jesus said, on this faith, on this rock, I will build my church. Let's read that verse, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew's Gospel chapter 16. Verse 17 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, of hell, shall not prevail against it. We need to question ourselves, what are we building our life upon? God has called us for a great calling. We need to build our life upon our Lord Jesus Christ. On this hope alone is our hope, that Jesus is God. And on this faith, the church is built. Who is building the church? The Lord is building the church. And we are the body of Christ. And the promise for each one of us is, gates of Hades shall not prevail. Though the temple was destroyed, but the temple of living God shall never be destroyed. The gates of Hades shall never destroy. And this is all his promises of God. A and amen. As we look at being chosen in him, if we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Book of Ephesians chapter 1. And according as yet, verse 3 onwards, here we shall read Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Accordingly, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I always marvel at this particular verse. How is that possible, that one person can be predestined before the foundation of the world? Just think about each one of yourself. Before God began to heaven and earth, God created heaven and earth, predestinate. Before the foundation of the world, God thought about you and about me. I mean, that's beyond anyone's understanding. But when you look at God's plan of this particular chosen place, everything, God does not do anything in hasty. He knows he has a plan for each one of us. Not plan to not harm us, to give us hope. An expected end. We have been chosen. Chosen in what? The most important thing to underline is chosen in Lord Jesus Christ. In him we have all the blessings. In him we have redemption. In him we have that eternal security. In him we have that, inheritance, imperishable inheritance. In him we have everything, the fellowship of saints, the hope, the forgiveness of sins. You can read Ephesians. We read in him. Without him, we have nothing. We have chosen in him. God has chosen you and made each one of you precious in his sight. We read about altar. Burnt offering, altar offered to the Lord. A structure, usually a flat structure, which is offered, offering and sacrifices unto God. A place of consecration. We still have an altar. God has an altar, has placed our altar. We see altar in a church. We see altar in every brother and sister. in our hearts. What can we offer ourselves on the altar? What can we give on our altar? Is God asking us to bring a sacrifice of animal or a sacrifice of anything? Paul says like this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this is one thing we can offer, is ourselves, totally, full surrender to God. Life could be sometimes 20%, 30% surrender, 50% surrender. What is God looking at my life? I question myself, have I surrendered my life fully to the Lord? The calling is a holy calling. The altar was a holy altar. The church is a holy place. Nothing should defile the church. Each one of us are a living stone. God is looking at us, called us to be holy, for I am holy. That verse remained in Leviticus. That verse remained in New Testament in Peter. All we could do, brothers and sisters, is offer ourselves holy to the Lord. If there's anything you're battling with in our hearts, we have spirit and flesh. Every day we battle. We need to alter what we are weaking on through His Spirit. As we see more of Him, that altar on fire will continue to burn. We saw that fire in Leviticus 6:13, that fire shall not go out. God has lit the fire by His grace, by placing His Spirit upon each one of us. We are sealed until redemption. May our life so shine before men that we might glory God. Please do not doubt at any time what God has promised. The good work the Lord has begun will be accomplished. You saw it in a place. Imagine as a person, a body, a soul which God has chosen us to be. He will present His church one day, a glorious church, undefiled, because of what Jesus has done. So brothers and sisters, we're taking these thoughts. May we surrender our life fully to the Lord and glorify Him. And the calling is holy. May we be worthy of His calling. Let us pray. Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank You and praise You for this blessed opportunity, the morning You've given to us. Lord, we could look at Your precious word. And thank You for reminding me and us, Father. Lord, You're a great God. And Your calling is holy. Father, as we've heard the word, if any of us, Lord, we are battling, may we help us, Lord, to surrender our life wholly acceptable unto Thee. And Father, remember, Lord, when we understand the hope of calling, the glorious hope of calling. And Father, may we be those vessels consecrated unto the Lord for Your honor, for Your glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.